Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, a podcast where three friends with strong opinions and very different personalities take on the world one slightly unhinged conversation at a time.
I'm busy because I'm always doing something, researching, planning, making lists about lists, basically keeping us on track.
I'm well-read because if there's a book on it, I've probably read it, highlighted it, annotated it, and have opinions on it.
And I'm Tall Girl, because I picked the username when I was 12, and apparently it's the only thing I'm willing to commit to long-term.
Except us. Welcome to our second episode. Today's topic is the myth of having it all. So let's do this.
Well, since I have it all together, I think this episode should just be you two trying to figure it out, and I will give you helpful tips and suggestions. Because, as everybody knows, this is 1,000% perfection all day, every day.
Because the woman who's bringing the chaos clearly screams all together.
In fairness, the chaos is not mine. I do not bring that to the party. That party walks up to me in public. You've seen it. We've been in changing rooms and that comes at me. I am naked with my back turned and that approaches me and thinks this is the right time to have a conversation.
No, I agree. It does come to you. But you must be putting something out. And there are times when you do bring it.
If you can find it, like if it's a pheromone, I would look into an aggressive level of cologne if I could de-emphasize that about me. So who wants to go first? Because clearly not me. Perfection.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. So we're going to be talking about the myth of having it all and social media versus reality is going to be a big part of it. Talking about things like how people portray themselves online versus how they actually are in real life. I am not on Instagram, but I've seen things of that nature around Insta famous people who look like they're always put together and have it all together and their lives are perfect, but in reality they're a swan furiously kicking underneath the surface of the water just trying to stay afloat.
Or it's all photoshopped. I love those when you're looking and they're like, here's this perfect photo, and then you look and you're like, oh wait, did you grow a seventh hand? Or like, why is this your like one leg is inexcusably longer?
I will also say, not just social media, but that BS thing that we're always kind of like, oh, well, Cindy Crawford's a supermodel and she went to Harvard or whatever. It's like that one person who succeeded, so it's okay. Like
Natalie Portman.
Like all of them are just like, well, and she managed to do whatever. Or Martha Stewart was a cover model at like 82. So there's still hope for you. Like, you pick the one example, the one person who happens to be smart and pretty. And that's pre-social media. That was the standard we were always handed.
Oh, yeah. They were all over the teen magazines. I remember when Natalie Portman went to college. I think she went to Harvard while she was filming one of the Star Wars movies. And that was all over everywhere. All over the magazines, all over the burgeoning internet. It was just that myth of perfectionism was what was shared
everywhere. But that's not new.
No, it's not new.
All right, so so obviously the whole what we see on social versus what is actual, everyone I think at this time in our lives is aware of, unless you've had your head under a rock. Uh-huh. So how do we think some of our own personal habit or things we see in more everyday people?
Well, apparently 33% of children and adolescents are striving to be perfect all the time.
Ugh.
And that freaks me out. A third of people growing up right now think that they have to be perfect in order to achieve anything. That is a terrifying number. And I'm sure that is kind of a lowball estimate as well.
But do you really think that was? Because we were sold on the idea. Like pre-social media, it was like, you will get these grades, you will go to Harvard, you will become a doctor, you will...
Yeah.
Theirs is more constant, but ours was like, fine if a social media celebrity inspires you to be perfect. Ours came from family, school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, It
get
hurts
your.
more when it comes from people who know you than it does
Well,
from
it's
like.
coming from both directions now. It's not only are you getting the social pressure at home and at school, you're getting the social pressure everywhere you look in the digital footprint. It's
I
pervasive.
it is. I do hope, though, compared to when the internet was new for us, and even though we all had the magazines and there was all the you could see it in magazines and books and movies and TV shows, we didn't have anyone talking against it. So while yes, I think there is more in your face for children of this generations and growing, I also hope that because there was that, kind of where we were like the guinea pigs, and people now try to balance that with your, your parents are more aware, friends are more aware. It you see it in topics from, your school psychology and, professionals there. So I think that my hope is that yes, it is there too, but I also think people are more conscious of how to
Find the counterculture.
how to what?
Find the counterculture.
Yeah, just how to combat it with children. So like no one ever said to me when I was a kid, like, it was just expect you're going to college, you will then work your job and you should get your house and where now when I have my nieces and nephews and I talk to them and I start to see them talk about certain things, I've tried to be aware, to give the give them power in their give them the power, or to point out to them, hey, you can't be at everything, you're going to miss out on things, so try not to feel like you have to keep up with the Joneses, to try and bring a balance to that I don't think that was necessarily there or aware of in some ways when we were younger.
See, I think it's the opposite because now parents are less involved in a lot of ways. There are the helicopter tiger moms, but there are also the parents who are completely like just checked out. We have friends who are teachers who the parents often forget that Timmy's in the third grade and not like kindergarten anymore. So, like, the pressures a lot of kids are putting on themselves are based on like society. Not necessarily their parents. Like our parents gave us direct conversations. So many parents are now checked out in a way, or they care about a total score. They don't actually sit down, like, I got my homework checked. Parents don't check anymore. They call the teacher to complain and then basically like negotiate the grade up. Like, yes, you turned in a D paper. I believe it's a B, or I'll sue you. Then they brag that like Timmy's a B student, which is like the perfection of my child. He's a B plus student. Like, the teacher will be like, Timmy's a D minus at best if you didn't just continuously threaten to sue us. The narrative is kind of like there's the reality of the parents and then there's the reality of the educational system is like.
And I think that differs also where you are too.
Well,
And
that's part of the,
oh,
yeah,
yeah, I mean, we're
that's a large part of the problem is that it does differ where you are, where you live.
it's also the
It's.
pressure to like get into college now is like at the price of college, even if you are the best of student, even if you come from a decent area, the reality of the financial, even if you can make it, do you want to take on $100,000 to start your life out on? That's
But see, and I would say now, I feel now that there's been a swing back more than it was for our generation. Our generation was more college, college, college. I think there has become a swing back where I'm hearing more vocational schools, and doing, trade than I have in years past, in my opinion, from what.
well, yes, and because I'm using that soft language, but also the sheer number of like my godchildren who are like, I don't have to do that. I'm just going to become a social media influencer. Like, oh, okay, I'll pole vault here And they start doing these like drunk elephant, like beauty videos at 10. And I'm just like, or we could crack a book.
That's fair too.
It's just, we never had that choice. It wasn't like, I mean, we could have like, oh, I'll go to Hollywood and I'll be a star. But like, the reality is you can become a social media influencer at a much greater rate than achieving fame. One of my goddaughters, not only is she trying for Instagram fame and her parents are trying hard to stop it, they had some sleepover where the woman's supposed to come in and give them like face masks. Somehow they talked her into giving them Botox. And my
What?
goddaughter's eyebrow did that Botox thing where she had a
Oh.
droopy, like, first of all, her parents freaked out. She called me and was like, yo, she like called me and was like, yo, I need to show you something and I need you not to tell my parents. And I was like, and the deal is with my godchildren, like I can be that person, but if it has to go to your parents, like
Of course.
I will rat you out.
Yeah,
She gets
absolutely.
on camera and I was like, are you having a stroke? Like, smile for me was my first reaction because I was like, and then I was like, did somebody hit you? Like, is your eyes, it wouldn't have even come into the list of questions I would have asked. Like, why is your eye slanty? Like, oh, did somebody put Botox in your forehead the wrong way? And like, normally that happens overnight. The fact that it happened within a few hours, I'm like, this is really bad Botox.
Yeah.
The
How old?
oldest girl in this room was 12.
What? Jeebus. Wait, I want to understand how the person administering the Botox.
She does like Botox parties and facial parties. So like she
But.
does adult parties, but also like if she can overcharge
Oh,
for face
great.
masks for a group of kids, she'll do that too. Somebody in the group must have known, or maybe she brought her kit in with the Botox. I don't, first of all, don't get Botox from random people with like a caboodle of like,
Okay.
used makeup and Botox. That's just a life lesson for everybody.
I have not had a desire to do any
Well,
Botox.
my thing is, as an adult in
Right.
a room full of children,
Correct.
how do you think that that's okay?
How do you think the parents aren't going to figure it out? But like, I mean, okay, in fairness, when they frown, they don't have frown lines anyway, but like they're worried about the wrinkles on their face because they've grown up since beauty filters. They've never put up an unfiltered photo. The current logic of the youth is if you start Botoxing before you need it, you won't
Oh.
get like the beginnings of. I had to hang up with her and be like, I have to call your parents because there is a way to reverse it, but it doesn't really work. But I'm like, yeah, somebody needs to know that like an adult put needles into the faces of children. Like that's
Yes.
not one of these things that I can. She's like, I can't tell my parents. I'm like, I can tell your parents and I can talk them down, but they're gonna come down the hallway shortly and have a conversation with you. And then they had to break it to all the other parents. And
But
I was
it's
just like,
the responsibility of the parent hosting the event.
parent hosting the event was like, how was I supposed to keep eyes on them? And I was like,
Are you kidding
there
me?
is a stranger human, like, okay, fine, people have issues with sleepovers, but there's a stranger adult in your house. Your only job is to watch that stranger adult in the house. If they leave and you leave them in the living room unsupervised, okay. If a total stranger is with them, even if they just had some reaction to the avocado in the whatever face mask, like, my friends were livid. The parents were livid. She was made to go to school with her sloopy eye for like 3 months until it worn off because they were like, this is the life lesson. Like, we're
Yep.
so mad, but this is the life lesson.
Good for them.
But like, this is what the 12-year-olds are up against
That's how
is
old she is?
she's 11. She's going to be, oh, she might have
Oh,
just been 12. Yeah, she's like,
12-year-old thinking to do Botox.
dude, she's got better skin care than I do. They go to
Oh, I
Drunk
mean.
Elephant and they're dropping money, money. Like
Yep.
we survived on Wet n Wild and Revlon and whatever. Like
Oh, Stridex. Oh my God.
they're anti-oxidizing in ways. Like
I've
they will
seen
ask me about whatever. Like there's something you can do now, which is like injecting. It's called like the vampire facial or something or other. Like I'm just like, I know you're using words, and I'm a grown up, and I should be aware of the words you're using. But like I have no idea what you're saying. But
Yeah.
that's like, that's the toll on them because that's how they've grown up. They don't post unfiltered photos. We have bad photos with red eyes because that was the like, that was the photo, or the really bad pixelated camera phones where
Yes.
that could be Dave, that could be
I'm
Chris.
so
Like
grateful
there's
for
like there
those.
was somebody with like brown hair in a photo, and it's so pixelated that we don't know for sure, but like it's the photo we have, so it's the photo we deal with. They're face tuning. Like that's you're 11. You shouldn't be sucking in your chubby cheeks.
That's the kind of.
I remember being a preteen and a teenager and having a conversation with my mom once about how do wrinkle creams work and do I need to start using them now? Do I need to, like, are they going to have better stuff when I grow up? I remember that as a teenager.
I do not.
I did not. I remember having the wife of one of my cousins, my mom's first cousins, talk about like the best ways of. You know, the way to wash your face, like your face wash, like in, you know, circles and stuff like that. But
And put on moisturizer, drawing away
oh,
from your face and
up and
up
away.
the neck.
The
Yeah,
perk
no,
of
that,
Korean friends
yes.
growing up is. Oh, maybe I didn't need my mom to tell me. I just had Korean skincare knowledge from a very early age.
Yeah.
Maybe I
So,
am traumatized and I didn't realize it.
yeah, we're gonna
Yay!
unpack it with all of
I had
us.
access to the good stuff. Like they went home to Korea every summer. They just brought it. Okay. Wow.
See, we're
Wow.
learning, all the learning. I just,
Always up. Just always, always up.
I can't imagine when I go to my friend's house now and I have my nieces, and if they have people over and they have their kids there, and the parents have been cool with me, you know, guiding or correcting, or, you know, the kids are acting up, I might correct my nieces. And then I will tell the parent, oh, your child is, they're like, oh, you could do that. I could never imagine reprimanding a child that I don't know well enough, let alone allowing someone to come into my house and not paying attention to the point that children have Botox. I just.
Look, I tried to remind my friend that, like, you know, my sister's ears are forever Miss Pierce because she got it done in a sleepover, and they didn't measure properly. She for dangly earrings are not for her because one's at chin level and one's at like cheekbone level, and
What is this, like an episode of, this is like Greek
Greece.
with,
But
oh.
like, I mean, look, it's not that we didn't stab each other with needles historically in sleepovers for forever, but like
I did
this
not.
has long term, like this is botulinum toxin. This is like, as an adult, you should think twice about it. How an adult rationalizes, like, well, it's just another, and I think that she was charging $70 a unit. Which, look, it's cheaper
Who
than
is
my
paying for this?
dermatologist has a sign up that I think he's charging $225 a vial.
But my point is then someone is having to pay for this. So the person hosting, you're saying you weren't paying attention, but then how is the person administering the Botox not getting paid? Also, my first thought is allergies. Like,
But
how are
also,
you as a person administering it? Not, I am so paranoid, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in you know, series to come. We know I love to cook. We all love to cook and baking. Kind of. I am so paranoid about asking, do you have any allergies? Do you have any dietary restrictions? I'm just trying to make you a cupcake or a cookie. I am not trying to inhale, not inhale, not inject
inject.
you with something from a tube. I can't even fathom that. Like when I'm baking for someone, I wipe everything down if I know they have a gluten or a peanut allergy or something, because I'm so paranoid that I want to be the. I can't imagine. Like, I'm calling shenanigans on that parent who hosted. I couldn't have been.
I can see
Yeah.
why, like, shortly later, there was an article like, parents are no longer like letting sleepovers happen for a myriad of reasons. And I was like, this would be one of the prime examples of why we should probably be done
Absolutely.
with
Yeah, no,
sleepovers
that
as
my
like a.
child would not be friends with that.
Nope.
Child any
Absolutely
longer.
not.
Nope.
I was like, I got
Absolutely
talked
not.
into stuff and we did some truly stupid stuff, but like,
Oh,
no, we didn't inject things into our face.
no. No.
Yeah.
And I didn't do the piercing of ears or like what apparently like blood rituals you were apparently doing at your. We were I was not doing that. Sorry. Red, were you doing that, like piercing of ears and stabbing each other? That's that stuff like.
No, we got our ears pierced professionally, or at least semi-professionally, because it wasn't tattoo people. You
at
know,
the
it wasn't any
mall.
tattoo
Hey,
parlor. It was, oh, it was Claire's. It was
some of us,
100% Claire's.
okay.
But no, we didn't, like, I didn't really get into any kind of shenanigans until I was 17.
I didn't have time for
In
shenanigans.
fairness, you guys were adults, and even if they were, you were the adults in the room who would have been
We're the
like, I
parental
smell
children, that's true.
shenanigans on the horizon.
We were worrying about the mortgage at like 13 and 14. Okay, not the mortgage.
Whereas, like, I went
Let's
to
not put it
sleepaway camp, which is
hyperbole.
6 weeks of shenanigans unsupervised in uniform.
But think about your goddaughter accepting this as something that is normal to do at her age. Like, yes, the responsibility is entirely on the adults, but think about what she must think about in order to think, yeah, injecting a toxin into my face as a preteen
It's
is
not
a
that.
bad
First
idea.
of all, as a kid, you don't think of the danger of anything. The stupid stuff we do as kids because we think we're going to live forever. Like they're not getting the lecture of Botox. Not like the dermatologist is handing out a warning when they give Botox. Like, well, if your eyebrow slips, we'll fix it. Don't sue us for malpractice. Like, the beauty industry is not giving you the warnings. Like, what was it? There was some MLM mascara brand that gave you really long eyelashes, but it was like fiberglass or whatever was in the, like something was not good in the lash extenders. We know that most makeup materials are like really high in lead and talc. Like pretty much anything you put on your body by the beauty industry is bad for you. And we don't talk about it enough, but when you're young and you start young, that's a lifetime of they have false eyelashes. They wear false eyelashes to school.
Oh,
Like,
that sounds exhausting.
you get up at what time? And even like, okay, so in the dorms, I drove by once. I forget why. I had to go through campus. Oh, I was driving up to somewhere and I drove past our freshman dorms just because I did the shortcut to get around campus because that other road was backed up. I drove past the dorms at like six something in the morning and lights were on. And I just remember saying to somebody like later on, being like, yeah, they must party hard. Their lights are on at like 6:30. Like nobody in our dorm. I had a 8:45 class. I think I got up at like 8:15, 8:30, like
And you went to
possibly
class in your
8:40.
pajamas.
My first class was
Yeah.
the floor below my dorm, so it's possible at 8:44 I woke up and stumbled into class. Well, I'm like, they're going hard, or they have to sleep with the night lights on. Otherwise, they're like, no, they get up early now. They get dressed for class. And I was like,
Another thing I think with the myth of having it all together, the fear of missing out. I think that.
FOMO. Oh, the FOMO.
And again, one of the younger people in my life, ever before they had social media, it is for them just something like, and some people like it develops, some people just have it. They have always been a big fear of missing out. And, you know, me along with their family, we all try and explain, like, you are not going to be able to attend everything. You can't be at everyone's party. You can't be at the school dances. You can't be working and making that money you want. You can't be also going to, like, you can't do. Why are you looking at me like that?
That feels
Because
like a
she
bit
did
of
it
a
all.
personal attack because I did do it.
Okay, but you are an adult. But here's the other thing. You are involved. Okay, here's where I think the difference is. There is a different, when I think of FOMO, I think of people who have this driving need that if they don't get to something, it's going to be like the end of the world. Where you, I think you did a lot, but like if you missed a concert because something came up, or you were at a concert and you couldn't get to an event, were you going to have this huge dread sitting on you, like that you missed out?
No, I think it's more life is freaking fascinating and I want to see as much as possible.
And that's where I think that's different. That to me is not FOMO. You just want to, there's a difference between wanting to be, try different things. I think we all have, like, you probably were the most extreme out of the three of us. I did it more in a sense of where my need to be involved and busy was being there for people and trying to hit up everyone's birthday parties, weddings, going out and stuff. But I've never had that, like, if I'm not hitting up all these things, I am missing out in this world.
That
Like
innate, like literal
that
fear.
FOMO, yeah. FOMO to me is like this deep, like you are regretting missing and like driving you how you plan your days. That is just no.
It's not that they're okay, it's the FOMO, but like when they're not there. Like you film the concert, you photograph yourself in front of the statue, like
Yeah.
you take that. At a Broadway show, you take that photo of like the playbill and the curtain on the stage kind of thing. Like it has to be documented, but they're not there. They didn't go to the concert. They filmed the concert kind of thing. Like
They weren't
FOMO that you
actually
haven't
emotionally.
documented. Yeah, like, but
Well,
if you
no.
ask them, like, how was the concert? They're like, oh my God, I got it. And then they never actually watch the video. So I'm like, you didn't really watch the video and you weren't really there, but you've got a video and you have half a memory of being there.
That's the FOMO, I will say. And Red is one when she's at something, we'll go to a concert. She is focused. She might take a photo. And it's usually not even about the person who's performing. It might be like some random thing that's pretty cool to take a photo of. I, on the other hand, I am a photo person, but I also grew up in a family where photography was a big component of capturing life's moments. So we had photography, we had the slides, the video, the cameras and all. So I do go back and I do rewatch things, or I keep them if I know we're at, we went to a performer she likes. And I know she's the type to engage. I didn't know the singer. She was lovely, but I knew she
Every
would
other
appreciate,
time,
yeah.
yeah.
And I knew that she would appreciate having videos later to watch. So for me, I wasn't going to miss it as much if I didn't pay attention, because to me it was more important. I wanted to capture stuff for her that she could have later. But for my own personal, when I go to shows or stuff where I can, like not a Broadway show, but if you can go to a concert, and I do record or I do take photography, I do go back and look and I do watch things because I like to relive those moments or have them. So I think, again, it all comes back to the content of what is driving you.
It's also
That's.
fun, like financially though, like the FOMO thing is they're going broke, like the Taylor Swift
Oh.
concert, those ticket prices. Like I go to 14th Century Lute Music, which is like a $25 donation. They're just grateful you show up kind of concert. Like none of
You're a
them are,
wild woman. You are wild.
oh, I gotta tell you, like, oh, for the lute. Like I do go to more expensive things, but like I can do it because a lot of what I do is like galleries and donations, like stuff that you can like, art exhibits that you can walk through for free. People are like, ooh, art. I'm like, yeah, they have to make it free, otherwise nobody else besides me would show up. But like a Taylor Swift concert, like what was it you were looking at some point? Like $2,000 a ticket. I was like, there's not a concert on earth. All my favorite artists could come back for like one night, 8 hours per artist, and I could sit on stage with them. And I wouldn't spend $2,000.
But again, there are different, I think there are sometimes when you do things like that, it has to do with what is important. There are people, we have friends where music is their life. They are always going to a concert, they are always traveling for something. And music, live, especially live music, is such a big part of their life. There might be people who are very big into hiking or going, into a mountains. I don't, not I. And they want to do, go in an off-road trip or something of that nature. I love traveling, but it's not so much like I'm going into the wilderness necessarily. So I think, yes, there are times when the amount and what people will spend might be more than we're comfortable with. I think it all depends on when and how often. So for the concert, that was going to take, I was doing that and we were trying to take my one niece to her first concert. And for me, it wasn't so much about the money per se. It was trying to get that experience for my niece and how it meant to her. Now, in the end, her parents and I both decided that they were not comfortable as well with her spending that much money, even if it was her own, or for them to spend it. And that was fine. And that was a decision that was made as a collective. But the reason we were looking was for the experience. So everyone, if you're doing it for one in time, I like to look at balance. If you're going once to a big concert and you're paying a lot because this is someone you really want to see or the experience, I understand that. If you're doing it all the time and putting yourself into financial debt consistently and not paying like real bills that you
Your
have,
electric
that's
bill?
a problem. It's balance, in my opinion.
Oh, but
Well,
that's also the
but that's the
reality.
myth of having it all,
Yeah,
right?
that like
Is
social media
you.
influencers go broke trying to make it.
Right.
Yep, they do. And people get Botox at 12 because they think they have to look a certain way. People mask their inherent personality traits because they think they have to behave a certain way in order to achieve what society dictates we need to achieve. Like, so what it comes down to, I think, is defining what is enough for you, that balance that you were referring to, Busy. Like, what is enough for you in your life so that you don't feel as though you're constantly having to tick those boxes that are so dangerous to tick?
Okay, but in fairness, we have a friend who has all those check boxes and did some pretty stupid stuff to make sure she could check a box. Got to the end of like the expected check boxes and then was like, oh, what do I do now? Like, I have the house, I have the kid, I have the husband, I have the job. And is like experiencing kind of like a midlife crisis because what happens when you run out of check boxes? Like,
I would say we probably all have more than one friend who's like that because those tick boxes seem very important in the moment. It feels like, and you know what? Weirdly enough, it goes back to the myth of the American dream. Like, if I do things the correct way for a long enough period of time, if I get the college degrees, if I get the right job, if I do this, I do that, and the other thing, I will be successful. I will be financially responsible to nobody but myself. I will have everything that I am supposed to be given because I have done everything the right way.
well, and also I think it goes further. I mean, it goes back obviously more than just American Dream. There is a certain, I mean, if we talked about, Austin in this way of the expectations of marriage and all that. So it's more than that. But I think also when we're talking, it's not always, I think we've talked a lot about like the social and all that, but sometimes, it may not be the checklist with having marriage, kid, job and all. Maybe it's just job and hitting all those strides and the next promotion and the next promotion or the next salary or the next certification or. So it can't.
What do you do when you've achieved everything that you set out to achieve?
Right. And again, there is no, I think it is healthy to have goals to obtain, but also I think trying to take a time and step back and say, if I don't hit X role, am I still happy? So, the three of us, none of us are married. So we've all discussed in different ways. And I had this conversation about, 6, 7 months ago with some of my younger female cousins that even though I'm not married, I am grateful to my family that no one has ever made me feel like I wasn't a full grown adult. Like I am full and whole as me. Whether or not I am married, whether or not I have children, excuse me, whether or not I get, this a massive role or anything, me, I am a person based on who I am as my content of my person, how I'm there, show up for my friends and family. And that is why I think while I do have checklists and things I want to accomplish, it has never been as much as a drive for me. Tall girl has once said, I have silent ambitions. You said that when we were having a discussion about professionals, our professional tracks, and she asked me where I want to go, and we talked about it. And she just stopped and looked at me. She goes, you have silent ambitions. Like, I don't need to it is not driving me every day to get up. It is to do my job, to get a job, to move up and move around, but not at the expense of mental sanity and balance.
Well, that's emotional maturity for you folks.
Ugh.
But I would hazard a guess and say that most people don't have that. They're still comparing themselves against, what is presented to them as either being the dream or whatever's on social media or those
When
tick
I,
boxes again.
if I could ever get like one lesson that I wish somebody in business had ever told me, like I was accidentally good at something and then like that advanced my career. It wasn't like I ever started out with like, I'm going to be a CEO by 25. If somebody in business had once said to me, just once, like, it's okay to not want to elevate. Like, it's okay to get hired at a job title and retire from that job title when you're 90. You do not have to take the management track. You do not have to want to be like,
Correct.
but that is never explained to you. It's always like, where are you? You have to quit your job every 2 years because, like, well, you used to start in the mailroom and then you retired as the boss. Like, that's not the model anymore. You have to defend your resume. Like, yeah, I was there for 5 years. And it's almost like, oh, career failure. You were a sticker. Like, you lost 3 years of salary. It's like, yeah, it's okay to just stay somewhere for 20 years and like what you do, but like I work to live. I don't live to work, which is a fundamental shift because I was a workaholic for a long time. I was like, oh, I'm good at it. I have to be perfect at it. I have to grind at it.
Yes.
You guys have seen it. I would evaporate.
Oh.
I took pride in the fact that I didn't sleep more than like 3 hours a day. My ulcers had ulcers. I was good at what I did, and then I got even better at it. But then it was like this, I have to, have to, have to, have to, because nobody ever says you could just stay here. And if you can live your life and on this salary you can exist, you're not a failure, which is not really what's like honed into people. And
No, it's
that's
not what's pushed onto us at all.
like, even if you balance your personal life and you're like, I'm good with me and I'm good with my body shape and I'm good with no longer dyeing my hair and I'm good with no longer doing these things, it's like you walk into the office and it's like, okay, but don't you want to be a manager too? And it's like, no, frankly, I don't. I don't want to have to manage your chaos. Like, I'm good with me. The only advantage to like being the boss was getting the door so I didn't have to deal with you people.
Yeah, I think that my mom a few years back had the opportunity. The manager had left the company and she was approached, do you want to be? And she's like, no. She's like, I'll help out until you figure out who's coming in the role. She's like, I am happy coming in. She goes, I don't want to worry about the after-hour phone calls. I don't want to worry about people. If you're taking vacation and worrying about, she's like, no, that doesn't drive me. And that I was proud of her for knowing that because not every some people are going to be pushed for whatever reason, whether it's your job, having a marriage, buying a house, feeling you have to, I don't know, dye your hair, whatever it is, people feel like they're pushed into having to do it because they're expected to.
Yeah.
And I think that it is, I'm more and more proud to see friends and family who stick up and say, no, might I want more money because I've earned it and I'm being underpaid? Sure. But do I feel I need to be a manager? Do I feel I need to have more responsibility? No, because I want that balance in my life. And that is a hard thing to do. It's I think
Especially with money on the line. Like,
moving.
I'm not going to dye my hair. I don't care if men judge me. Like, what do I care about them anyway? But, like, when money is on the line, that's even harder because it's like, well, you'll hate it, but it is $20,000. And that's to still be secure in yourself to be like, no, I know what I do and do not want. And I know what my value is versus like my stress. In COVID, the sheer number of people who realize, like, I commute 2 hours to work. Like,
Two
why?
hours.
And I spend like
Jeez.
$10,000 on clothes every year to dress up for the people in the office. why the sheer number of women who, like, because they couldn't get their hair dyed, went gray and embraced the gray and was like, I've been gray since I've been like 18. Like, these women are coming out, and when you see them full gray, they're glorious. But it's like, but for the fact that a pandemic stopped you from getting your hair dyed from 8 weeks, you'd still be here. But like, in a weird way, I think COVID kind of put the brakes on a lot of people. Like, but why do we do it? Like, why do we? Nobody wants to go to happy hours anymore. Nobody wants to hang out with coworkers anymore. Like, nobody wants to have to get dressed every morning when you can, in your pajamas, log on. Like, I think it kind of caused a lot of people to stop in a way that they might never have if we didn't have this kind of like global pause.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, I'm glad that it's getting more common, but I still think, you know, in my brain, it's still weird for people to embrace those parts of themselves and be like, no, I don't want that extra thing. It still feels like there's a lot of pressure from outside sources to, you know, be a billionaire, to have this pristine house, to look a certain way, to behave a certain way, to think a certain way.
I mean, I'm awkward about my follower count. I always have been. Like, I look, the same things I say on TikTok, and you guys are here as witnesses, the same things I say on TikTok are literally the things I say to you guys. I just,
100% true.
it's, but like, you know, it's when I got to a certain number, people started to see me as successful for doing exactly what I had done from the beginning. And it's like, no, like, it's great that you feel that way, but zero or a trillion, please never let it be a trillion. Whatever the follower count is, like, it doesn't define me. I'm not going to change my content. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other thing. And it was like the pushback I got.
What do you think myths? I think another way of myths of having it together, one thing I think has to do with boundaries. And that just because someone is in my life, however that is, family, a friend, a coworker, that A, everyone has the same, I think for the longest time, it was like everyone has to have the same access to me. And B, that I need to twist myself into a human pretzel sometimes, especially emotionally, in order to maybe show.
Equal affection to everyone. Yeah.
And I think that one of the things over the years of growing, of learning to know that even with you two, the way you both, you know, what you might need in everyday life is different. And what you might need going through a stressful time, like we know. When Tall Girl is in the let's say she is, you know,
Full
not
on
whatever,
freak out
but
mode.
no, I was gonna go with when you're in work mode where we don't see you, we are having separate side conversations. Okay, she hasn't really replied to the group chat or individually to us in 2 or 3 days. We will give her another day. We know where she is, not in a creepy stalker way. We know where she is. We will give her
Because some of
time.
us share locations with others in Find My Family.
This is going to be a running thing, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So we know where she is. We know that she's alive, but we will give her another day or so before we kind of do a like soft intervention of, hey, I'm in your neighborhood. I'm just dropping by to say hi, to check in to see that you're okay. So I think that boundaries, and being understanding how they are important to having it all. Like, I don't always need to give, you might not need that all the time, but know when to add, you know, raise the level, lower the level. And just because I have one friend who might need X, that does not mean that all of my friends and family need X. Some people, you know, like it's, having it together makes it think like I have to be available for every phone call, that every person reaches out to me. I have to say yes to every invitation. I have to attend every wedding, baptism, you know, school play, company barbecue, happy hour. Like, no, that's, you know, and it is okay to say no if my battery does not allow for me to do all the things. It is okay for me to attend a little bit and then leave, or come late and then, like, it is okay to not give everyone the same access to me, or put into everyone the same way. And that doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me a bad friend or family member. Everyone has different needs. And I think when you can accept that individual with their situations, I think you start to have a better balance, perspective of life.
It's also like telling your friends, like when you are
100%.
broken, when you have messed up, like telling them the deepest, darkest, like worst thing about you. And like, they're like, okay, we got you. Like, cool. Do you need a fire extinguisher or an alibi? Like,
Ownership.
instead of like, I can be terrible and I can tell you guys and you can be like, yeah, you totally screwed up. But also, like, we are here for you. We can help you through it kind of thing. But
Correct.
also, like, I can give you 10% of myself. I cannot dead stuff my life to serve your needs for the next 6 years as you emotionally dig yourself out of the situation you clearly intentionally put yourself in.
Correct. Ownership and accountability. Big accountability needs to be. Oh, that is a huge component of all this.
But also for us, like we stopped giving each other gifts for like birthdays and whatever. Like we'll do a birthday event or like we'll go on a trip or like something that means something to everybody, something that everybody will enjoy. Instead of just giving you a candle that you're gonna hate and re-gift,
Yes.
we kind of as friends shifted to these like, let's do something on theme or let's do whatever kind of like it's well, I mean like our cookie swap, like cookies are the least reason we like actually come together. It's
Or
like, I
we.
want to spend time with you, and this is a great kind of competitive excuse because you people have no chill, and you know, of course, everybody wants to win best cookie.
Yes. Or if we do get gifts, it is specific. So, for example, Red did some embroidery, and I know it makes me excited too. The viewers, the listeners can't see us both clutching at our chests in love. But because to us, we knew that wasn't just her going to store, and there's nothing wrong with store bought stuff. I have lovely thing, but it was her taking the time, seeing a design, spending her time and mental space to make us gifts, and that's what meant it. Like for you, 1 year, you like to do you knit or crochet? I can't remember.
Both.
Both. Okay, because you're an overachiever, got it. So knowing that she also likes to support like farms and all that stuff. A friend of mine had an alpaca farm up
Oh,
in New
yeah.
Hampshire.
That was good yarn.
Was good yarn? Okay.
That was
And I was able to get, how much yarn did I get? What is that
It was
called?
like four skeins. Yeah.
Okay, 4 skeins or so of yarn in a color I know that she likes from a local farmer. And just to add to the funny, which kind of goes into their jokes on me, I also was able to provide a photo of the alpaca it came from.
Yeah, I think that we've made some really good points, the three of us. Like, perfectionism can impact everything. You have to define what is enough for you to not have to live up to this myth of having it all. And you have to set boundaries for yourself and for other people to make sure that you are getting what you need in your enough.
I would also say, like, with age, you become more aware, like, what you do as a teen, but also you will look back at the things you did as a teenager and be like, oh my God.
Nothing is more cringy
What?
than looking at a status message, a status of you wrote, a posted from like 10 years ago.
Yep, you realize that you're a very different person from the person that you were years and years ago, as you get further into your life.
And I think also it's not only knowing who you are and growing up, it's also what you don't care about. And everyone comes with different levels at different times. When I was in first grade at my parent teacher conference, apparently, my teacher told my mother several things. One being that I was like a duck in water, and my mom's like, how so? She said, someone could say something to me and it would just like roll off my back like a duck in water. She also said I was a magpie, so like there's clearly a big bird theme going on
Big bird thing, yeah.
here. Yeah, big bird thing. But I think that as you grow up, you start to learn what does matter to you from your family, from your friends, from your job, from your society, your place of worship, wherever, and what you care enough to pour into.
And also, like, you become more protective of the battery resources you have. You start to become like conscious that you have 100% battery and you're not going to go below 50%. Whereas, like, as a teenager, it's all, and then you find yourself like zero, and then figuring out how to rest and reboot. The older you get, the less you're willing to like completely expend yourself. You know, when you're kind of like, I can't give you any more without sacrificing for me, and I have to show up tomorrow and do these five things to like survive as an adult, which is something you don't have in your 20s. You're like, no, I'll party forever and I'll never get tired.
So we're embracing imperfection, I think, is really what it comes down to. Like, forget having it all, screw that. We don't need that.
I mean,
Embracing who you are and figuring out what is enough for you. What does that look like? What is good look like for me? Is
and
really,
you figure out how, please let us know.
yeah. If
Please.
any of you listening figure that out, let us know. Put it in the
Accepting.
comments. Write us.
When people like write
On
me comments and they're
Patreon.
like, you seem so well put together, I'm like, oh no.
And
Obviously, I did not tell you clearly enough. Like, no.
that's a wrap on today's episode of Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos. If you enjoy this, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or at least tell a friend who loves good conversation and needs even better debates. You can find us at SenseSensibilityChaos.com, TikTok at long last, YouTube, Blue Sky, and your favorite podcast platforms, where we'll be continuing the conversation, sharing extra thoughts, and probably spiraling into a little more chaos. Because honestly, what's life with a little bit of that? See you next time. Until then, stay sensible.